Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here. And thank you all for everybody who is joining us on Facebook. Please remember to comment and let us know that you are going to be watching our program this morning. And we appreciate you for following along. Of course, it's that time of year. Got a lot of announcements. There'll be a quiz later on to see if you all paid good enough attention. Or I guess I won't have to quiz you. We'll just know if you show up for church at the wrong time these next two Sundays. But we've got a couple different schedules since this is that year where Christmas and New Year's Day both fall on Sundays. So we've got a couple different things going on. But let me back up. Tonight we'll be having our small groups as normal at 6 p.m. with the exception of the young adult small group. They will not be meeting tonight. So if you're in that group, you can, of course, go to one of the other two, or you can put your feet up tonight and thank Pastor Tyler. Wednesday evening, of course, we'll have our regular services for everybody, kids, adults, teens, at 6 o'clock like usual. Next Sunday morning, we will be meeting at 10 o'clock. So this will be a combined service, no Sunday school. We'll have church at 10 and then no evening service. So what time next Sunday? 10. All right, very good. Can't sneak anything by you guys. Then the following Sunday, January 1st. This is the one that tripped me up this morning when I was trying to tell my Sunday school class what was going on. We'll be meeting at 10:30, regular time, but we will not be having Sunday school, and we won't be having a p.m. service either. So what time on New Year's Day? 10:30. All right, very good. But if you show up at 10, that's okay. You can just, you know, mix and mingle, tell people what you got for Christmas, whatever. Don't forget about our Christmas card box. I see that it is rather full back there, so don't forget to pick up your Christmas cards and help us kind of keep that box emptied out. So if anybody is putting theirs in there late, they will have room for them. Also, I'm announcing late because Gail had to remind me because I forgot, but we do have a box back there like we normally do to donate some of the money you would have spent on postage to put for missions, and we send that to the World Evangelism Fund to support missions around the world. So don't forget about that as well. We still have NYC envelopes for donations in the foyer. Thank you for those of you who have put some money in one of those. But if you've not had a chance to, or you feel led to do a second one or a third one or a fourth one, please grab some extra ones and help out our teens as they are raising money to go to Tampa next summer for NYC. And I believe that is all I have to get us through the end of the year. Of course, many other things come out on the newsletter each Friday. Let us know for some reason if you're not receiving that. Sometimes it does end up in your spam box. But we appreciate you all being here. And thank you for your faithfulness to support the church.
The fourth candle of Advent is the candle of love. Its light is meant to remind us of the love that God has for us. And Jesus shows us God's perfect love. He is God's love in human form. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love is patient. Love is kind and envies no one. Love is never boastful or conceited, rude or selfish. Love is not quick to take offense. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not gloat over other people's troubles, but rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, to its hope, to its endurance. Love never fails. Today we light this fourth candle of Advent on the fourth Sunday of Advent to remind us of how God's perfect love is found in Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity that we have this morning to come to this place, to look into your word, to worship you through song. We thank you, Lord, for the love of God that has been displayed through the giving of your Son, Jesus. And I pray, Father, that as we go through this time that we have together this morning, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would bless us and help us and use this time, this season of Advent, to draw us closer to you. May we love you more. May we love each other more. And for the good things that you're going to accomplish in our lives, we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Every year in Ponca City, we had the Angel Festival. If you read my article in the newsletter this week, you already know that there were angels all over town. They were from the very, very small ones that were lit in someone's window to the very gorgeous, beautiful ones that were in the downtown area. On the front lawn of St. Luke's Church, there where I pastored, we had about 20 angels that had been cut out of plywood, and they were painted white. We had spotlights on them, and they were there. And as you pass by the church there, it was a beautiful sight to behold. Well, we all know that all through the Christmas story, angels are part of it. An angel appeared to Zechariah. An angel appeared to Joseph. An angel appeared to Mary. And she sang, as we talked about last week, she sang her song describing what God had done for her. But this morning, I'm going to read a very brief portion of Scripture to you, and I promise you once again to be very brief. From Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" I can see those shepherds as they were outside Bethlehem watching those sheep. Most of them were probably young men. Most of them were probably very young men. They were doing exactly what David did. He was a shepherd. He was keeping the wolves and the lions away from the sheep. And probably most of them would have wanted to have been in bed at home, but that was not part of it. They were there, and then suddenly they have the night sky light up like they had never seen. And an angel speaks to them the most horrific message that has ever been spoken. The angel said to them, "I bring you good news of great joy." Good news of great joy. Well, let me tell you what this song was all about. First of all, this song, this message was very personal. It was to these shepherds that the angel brought the message. Do not be afraid. I've always loved that. I think if there was anybody who was afraid, it was probably those guys out there on that hillside near Bethlehem. How can you see all that's going on, nothing like you've ever seen before, and not be afraid? And I look at some of us today, and know, not because somebody has told us, but just simply because I know in a crowd of this size, that there are people who came to this place because of things in their life today that they're scared. They're terrified. But the good news that I have for you today is, just as God spoke to those shepherds that night, right at the point of their need, God is willing to speak to us personally right at the point of our need. Praise His name. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. But not only was it a message that was personal, but it was also a message of praise. Because they said in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests." That's a song of praise. Singing songs of praise was nothing new to the angels. As I said in my article this week, you go through the Bible and you're going to find various places in which the angels are praising God. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 tells us that what you and I enjoy, the salvation that we enjoy, the angels long to look into. They don't understand it. They want to know about it, and yet we enjoy the blessing of God. And that song of praise that they sang that night in Bethlehem reaches all the way to Crossville, Tennessee here this morning. Glory to God in the highest. You and I can experience new birth because of the Savior that came and that they were praising. It's lastly a message of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. From the day that man sinned in the garden, men have struggled all throughout this time. They struggle with each other. But not only do they struggle with each other, they struggle with God, because without Jesus, we have no peace with God. The Jewish people understood that only when Messiah came would there be peace. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Wow. The angels sang and praised God. Conclusion. We live in a world where peace is only something that is discussed and hoped for. The only peace that any of us can have comes through Jesus, that babe that the angels sang about. This message was personal. This message was a message of praise. This message was a message of peace. And in this troubled world that you and I live in this troubled world that you may find yourself in this morning, I'm so glad to tell you that you can have peace. Praise His name. We thank you, Lord, this morning for Jesus. We thank you that He came, was willing to live and die so that we could have peace with God. May you bless us in this Christmas season as we realize that the peace that we enjoy is because of what Jesus has done for us. We give you glory, honor, and praise for this time. May you bless the choir as they sing. They've practiced, Lord. May you bless all that they do today for your glory. And we do thank you that they are doing it for your glory and honor. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's sing a Christmas carol together. Silent night, holy night.
Welcome, welcome to a day that is all about the love of God. Thank you all for being here. You probably would agree with me that this can't be covered in just, a brief hour this morning, but we can do the best we can. It could be argued that the love of God couldn't be understood in an entire lifetime. How He sent His Son that first Christmas morning in the form of a precious baby, and how the message of Christmas has always been simply that God loves us. So, as you can hear, we've got our choir in place, the cast is ready, and we're ready to tell you that story. Unfortunately, this production is like about any other. I think we're missing a few people this morning, but I think you all look pretty willing to be able to fill in some of those parts as we go along. So I think that we can make this work and be able to tell the story. So if you'll just be willing to jump in and do your part as I ask you, then I think we will have a very good time this morning. I know many of you are probably thinking about how you would have felt that first Christmas morning, and it's easy to think about that. That's what I've asked all of our members up here to think about this morning, the way that they would have embraced that first couple. Would they have embraced them with, eagerly embracing them and bringing them into their home, giving them a place to stay? Or would they have looked upon them with a bit of fear, and looking at the angels appearing in the midnight sky with a bit of fear, along with the shepherds and the baby sleeping in a manger? It looks like to me the first part we need that we are short of is an innkeeper. That's a great part for somebody to play. It's an important part, but fairly short, not a ton of lines. Let's see. Do we have any volunteers? That's what I was afraid of. How about you, sir? Would you be willing to be the innkeeper for me?
What? I'm emailing something to my office, and you understand it's a busy time of year for me, and you know, if you're going to make it in the business world, you got to stay on top of things. Hold on just a second. This is important.
Well, what I was asking is, what did you say your name was?
Tom. It's Tom.
Tom, well, I was wondering, Tom, if you would be willing to help us out up here by being the innkeeper in our program.
Who, me? I don't really have time. I mean, I'll be honest. The only reason I'm here is because my wife made me come. I mean, I've got more on my plate right now than I can say grace over, and I'm in business for myself, you see, and it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and you got to understand. I mean, see what I mean? Here's another message.
Well, I can see that you really are in high demand. But, you know, this would only probably take 30 or 40 minutes. So do you think you could take that time away from the business world and, help me tell this story and want you to think about as well how important it is and amazing it is that the creator of our universe sent his one and only son, and he wants to let you know that.
What? I've got to know something. I mean, what more can be told about the Christmas story? It hasn't changed in years and years. I mean, on the other hand, though, now the business world, it changes every 5 minutes. And if you snooze, you lose.
Well, Tom, you are right about one thing there. The Christmas story hasn't changed a great deal. It's still a story of God saying directly to you, hey, Tom, I love you. I want you to know that. I know you're under a lot of pressure right now, and sometimes you're scared that your business and your life could fall apart. I know that you worry about being a good husband and a good father and a good provider. But as much as you care about all those things, Tom, I care about you, and I'm sending my son to prove it.
Wow, I never thought that God might be saying something to me through the Christmas story.
Great, so you'll be our innkeeper then. He was under a lot of pressure too. I think you're really going to be able to relate to him. He was busy, he was overwhelmed, he had a lot of things going on. It was a busy time of year. And I think you're going to be just the right guy for this part.
Only about 30 minutes, right?
30, 40 minutes. You know, that's all it'll take. Here, I've got a robe. I think it'll just fit you. If you'll slip into that, and you'll find a spot outside the stable, let me give you your part to read. And once you get ready, if you will head up front and say your part, and that's all it'll take.
Okay. You're sure about 30 minutes?
Just 30.
Maybe 40.
I'm
30
busy.
To 40.
I'm telling you, I'm busy.
I know, business world. I mean, it's dog eat dog.
The night had been crazy. More travelers than I knew what to do with. You think being an innkeeper is easy, think again. The business world is a dog-eat-dog world, you know, and you snooze and you lose. A census like this might not ever happen again. If I didn't seize on the chance to make money right now, it might not come around a second time. I was sure of that. The last thing in the world I needed was to take time to find a place for some nobodies from Nazareth. Don't ask me why, maybe just to get rid of them, but I told them if they wanted, they could bed down with the livestock.
Here. Well, we got our innkeeper. Man, we're missing a lot right here at the beginning. Looks like I'm needing somebody to play the innkeeper's wife. Oh, let's see. Who'd be good for that? How about you, ma'am? Could I get you to help us out?
Possibly, I just can't. I mean, I really appreciate it, and I'd really like to help out, but I just can't.
Well, it's very simple, Carol. You don't have many lines. I mean, I told that guy 30 or 40 minutes, and I mean, it'd be even less for you since we're already into the program a little bit. You know, we'll just tell you what to do. And, I mean, you know the basics of the Christmas story, don't you?
Well, yeah, I know the basics. But, I mean, if you knew me, like if you really knew me, you wouldn't want me up here in front of all these people, you know, pretending like I know what's going on. And, I mean, it's the Christmas story. I just can't.
Well, Carol, I hear what you're saying. And I have to say, I do agree with you. You know, maybe if any of these people knew all about me, they would be a little less inclined to have me up front or any of these other people. But, you know, that's really the point of our whole story. Christmas is God saying, hey, Carol, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I see you where you are. And I love you more than you'll ever be able to comprehend. There's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do that will make me stop loving you.
He's saying that? Like, that's what he's saying to me?
He is.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
All right, you'll be fine. Just be yourself. Let me give you this robe. If you will throw that on, let me also give you your part to read. And then whenever you are ready, if you'll make your way up front, and we'll get going with the program.
They were a sweet young couple. I could see that she was a little frightened, but there really wasn't anything I could do for them. I couldn't take her fear away. I couldn't give her a warm bed or a cozy room to have her baby in. If I had known then what I know now, it would have scared me to death. God's Son, sent from heaven, born in our stable? Why? Why would He choose me? Why would He want me? It just didn't make any sense to me.
He has been surrounded by gold and ivory. He's known gates of pearl. I imagine that its glory sure.
see, right about here, I'm going to need some shepherds. Do I have any of the shepherds already up here? I think I've got a couple. Yeah, I see Dave back there, Al. All right, I've got a couple. I don't think Frank made it in today. I'm probably going to need one more shepherd if I could find some kind of a volunteer. What about you? What's your name?
You're kidding, right? No way. No way, man. You're not getting me in some church Christmas pageant.
Well, no. Why not?
Look, dude, I've seen how you manipulated other people into it, and I'm not falling for it.
You think that I tricked Tom and Carol into this? I mean, I guess it looked that way a little bit, maybe, but what did you say your name was?
It's Ryan, and yes, you tricked them. And all this stuff about God loves each and everybody.
So your experience has been that God doesn't love anybody?
Well, some people.
But the implication is that you don't think He loves you.
Where was God's love when my mom and dad got divorced? Where was He when my mom got so depressed that she couldn't even take care of me? Where was He when my grandpa died of cancer, the only man that I looked up to?
Well, if you want to believe that God loves you, let me see if there's some way that I can get Him to prove it to you. God, Ryan here doesn't believe that you love Him. And I guess if I'd had to go through some of the things that he's had to go through, I might have trouble believing it too. Now, God, I know you don't have to do this. I know that you've already proved how much you love us by sending your son for us. But Ryan, he doesn't see it that way just yet. Could you somehow let Ryan know tonight that you really care about his life and that you stand ready to make his life better because you really do love him so much? Ryan, I believe God brought you here today because He knows how hurt and how alone you feel. I believe He led me to choose you to try to be in this program because He knows you. He knows you're mad and that you don't understand His love and that you're upset with Him, and that's okay. It's okay for us to have some doubts. But, you know, here, as we are close and as we're telling this story, can you allow Him to be a comfort to you, and will you give Him that chance?
What do I have to do? I stink at acting.
Well, the good news is you don't even have to act. Just be yourself. Who's to say that a lot of the shepherds weren't exactly maybe a little less than pleased that their lot in life and that they were taking care of all kinds of sheep? And can't imagine that was a great job. So just be yourself. Let me give you this costume to put on. You can do like the others if you'll put that on for me. And if you will read that part when you get ready up there at the mic, and we will get this show on the road.
I was no saint, in fact. I was a troublemaker, but I hated my life, taking care of smelly, stupid sheep out in the blazing sun in summer and the freezing cold in winter. What did my future hold? Nothing, just more of the same. I would never go anywhere. I would never do anything important. I would never be anybody. It all stretched out in front of me, so boring and lonely, I could hardly stand to think about it. Then, on the most boring, most ordinary of all nights, everything changed. A man. Well, not just a man, but I know this sounds crazy, but he was an angel. He appeared out of nowhere, started telling us he had good news for us, what would bring us great joy, like we were won some fantastic prize. Said if we'd go to Bethlehem and look, a Savior had been born, a Savior who was for us, come to rescue us from the lives we had. Then the sky lit up like nothing I'd ever seen, and there was a whole army of angels. I was terrified and thrilled at the same time. Good news, great joy. I didn't know what it all meant, but I was determined to find out.
Let's see. Guess it is time for Joseph. All right.
I was just wondering if I could take part. I've kind of been waiting on you to get to me.
Well, that's great. Got to tell you, I'm not used to volunteers, so I really appreciate you being willing to do it. Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I'm not a member here or anything. I hope that's okay. But I've been to several churches just trying to figure all this out, you know, what's real, what's not. I mean, if God's real, I don't want to die without him. I don't really want to live without him either. You know, I just don't know. I was just wondering if you could help me figure out what's real.
Well, I can. What's real is that Jesus was really born. His birth had been predicted for many, many years. And when he came to the earth, it fulfilled many prophecies. He fulfilled every single one of them. What's real is that he was God's son. He lived a perfect life here on earth among us, telling people and showing people by his goodness and his humility just how far God was willing to go to save them. His death isn't part of our story here today, but it's certainly the start of that story as he came to earth to save us from our sins. He died for all our sins in our place, and he died for your sins too, Joseph. And then he defeated death by rising from the grave on the third day to live again. He loves you so much that he stands ready to forgive every wrong you've ever done, and he stands ready to help you and meet your deepest needs.
Man, I'd really just give anything to know that he loves me, you know?
Well, that's the only opportunity he needs to become real for you. Let me give you your costume, and I can give you those lines to read, and whenever you get ready, if you'll come up and read them.
God, I don't know why you picked me of all people. Why would your son want me, want to be a part of my life, and have me be a part of his? When Mary told me she was going to have a baby, it was like I didn't know or understand anything at all. Lots of people thought I was crazy for trusting her story. You know, I tried to tell them I wasn't trusting her, I was trusting you. What else could I do? You were all I had. And once I took the first step of believing, I won't say the rest was easy, but as I took each step of following you, it became clear that you were in control and you weren't going to let us down. I knew the prophecies that you'd send a king, a deliverer. I just never dreamed they would involve me.
Promise us that he will
looks like we just need one more person to complete our cast. How about you? Would you be willing to play the part of Mary? I mean, I know it's a big responsibility, and it's a lot to ask, but would you be willing to do it?
I will if you want me to. It will be an honor.
Thank you for saying yes. If you'll just read that when you get up front.
There was nothing about me that made me worthy. I was just willing. Even my willingness to carry Jesus and give birth to Him, that was nothing good or wonderful in me. It was all every bit of it a gift from God. Was it easy? No. Was it scary? Sometimes. But would I have missed a single moment of seeing Him and knowing Him as I did? He was a miracle. I didn't know how He would change the whole world. I only know He had changed every single part of mine. Nothing I knew would ever be the same.
You. Yeah.
I suppose it's natural to ask ourselves, as I said earlier, how we would have responded to this set of circumstances. Would we have been afraid? Would we have doubted the truth of what was going on in front of us? Would we have been skeptical or indifferent? Would we insist that we wouldn't have been able to play our part well? Would we simply tell God that we'd trust Him and follow one step at a time? The more important question is, how will we respond to God's love now? He sees each of us here where we are. He knows all our worries and concerns, all our regrets, all our failures. He knows what makes us laugh and what brings us to tears. He loves us more than we'll ever know, and we may never fully be able to understand His love, but this Christmas, what He wants for us is to believe it's real and receive it by faith.
Didn't they do a good job? I'm telling you, they have been working on this and working on this. Marcy, we just want to thank you for all your leadership in that. And I think
well, I hope you did realize the love of God in our program today. And you cannot have a choir without a director.
Mm-mm.
And we have the sweetest, most patient director. We'll practice something, and she doesn't tell us. Well, she'll say, it's not bad. But then we know it's not good. So we love Marcy, and we wanted to give her a gift of appreciation.
That's good. The last verse of the song says, could we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angel song. Wow. Aren't you glad that we can experience the love of God? If you're here this morning and you've never experienced the love of God, I'm so glad to tell you that right where you're sitting today, you can bow your head. You can say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. I want you to take away the burden. I want you to take away the sin. I want to live for you all the days of my life. And I'm glad to tell you this morning that if you mean that, He will do it right where you're sitting today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning to sing about the love of God. We rejoice, Lord, that you loved us enough to give your best. And Lord, we love you enough this morning that we want to give you our best. And so, Lord, we want to offer ourselves to you. There's one here this morning that they don't know you as their Savior. I pray that even right now that they would simply say from the depths of their heart, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I'm sorry that I've done wrong. Come into my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me. I'm so thankful that you came to this earth for me. And I want to receive you as my Savior today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will do that. May you bless these who have given their all for you this morning, and they've worshiped you in song. And I pray that the message of the love of God at Christmas would be the message that we take with us throughout this week. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. We give you glory for who you are, in Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen.